here, the rowdies went there, they kicked the ball around. The rowdies went here, the rowdies went there, then they fall on the ground. Oh, the rowdies, the rowdies, the rowdies are the pig in the grass.
Here's another reason why WISL is your sports leader. Now, on FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WISL, North America's longest-running soccer radio show, Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Your hosts, former Rochester Lancers trainer Joe Redcard Sirianni, Rochester Rhinos broadcaster Andrew Battisti, the editor of FrontRowSoccer.com, former Rochester Lancers reporter and a 2012 inductee into the Lancers Wall of Fame, Michael Lewis, and former Lancer and Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer, Mr. Zero, Dick Howard. Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry and brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos, top-notch monogramming Northfield Commons, Pittsburgh, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Faber Homes, Claridge Decorating Center, Glacier Ridge Sports Park, Olindo's, and Allstate Insurance agent Enzo Scolo. And now, here's Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. This is Andrew Battisti. Thanks for joining us tonight. And boy, it's been quite a month of soccer in the World Cup in Russia. And sad to be over. It's just flew by. But we'll have another four and a half years if the World Cup stays in Qatar or Qatar, however you want to pronounce it, or if it doesn't get moved somewhere else. Let's hope that happens. But it was a great tournament. So Dick Howard, Michael Lewis, Joe Sirianni, and I are going to give our analysis, opinion, memories, and thoughts on the World Cup. We'll also wrap up the Rochester Lady Lancers season coverage. Head coach Sal Galvano will join us at 7 o'clock. We'll talk about the incredible turnaround of a team that didn't win a game in 2017, and they just missed out on the playoffs this year, finishing with a 5-3-2 record. So we'll talk with Sal at 7 o'clock. But let's bring Joe Sirianni back in. He's in the studio right across from me, smiling because his team Juventus is making money with all the sales of Cristiano Ronaldo jerseys.
Yeah, but they asked this person a lot of money to purchase him. So
they're going to make money on the deal. But unfortunately, he's not going to be coming to America, I guess, to play in the Champions League.
No, Champions Cup. They said that he's coming.
Oh, now he's coming. I saw earlier today that he wasn't coming.
And the Italian newspaper, they said that he's coming. He's going to join the team in America. So he's going to fly his own jet. And he's going to come over here.
So that's his own jet. Yeah, unbelievable.
That's the way he went to Italy, with his own jet, to sign up and go through the medical procedure. But anyway, I concur with you, that we lived a month of tremendous soccer. We saw people cry. We saw people live it up and celebrate. And the game of soccer, or any game that you compete and you want to win, sometimes it's a cruel game, no matter what, because at the end of the day, there is a winner and a loser. And when you lose, it's not so good. When you win, you elate. And I saw one of the things that I really saw that with the friends of Croatia game, you got a lot of people that play in the same teams, throughout the thing.
Right.
And even though they fought hard, they tackled one another, they did all the things that they needed to do to win, at the end of the game, they embraced one another and showed what good sportsmen they really are. And so my compliment to France. I didn't particularly root for them. I wanted Croatia to win because of all the things that they went through, and because it's a small country.
They're close to Italy.
Yeah, and close to Italy. But at the end of the day, France got the W, and they got the win. And what can you say? You and I differ on the penalty. Mandzukic scored two goals.
One for his own team and one
for his team's own. But the French had some great opportunities, and at the end of the day, they went, once they were leading, they completely defended, and that's the way the game is played when you play for lots of money. I'm curious to find out how much money they really made in Russia what really the attendance really was. And going back to what you said before with 2022, Qatar, I don't know that they, it's a small country. It's not, you know, not as big as Russia.
Not even, Russia's the biggest country in the world by area. Yeah. Qatar is one of the smallest.
I don't know what they're going to do and why they're having it over there. But
I know why they're having it there, because of all the bribery and collusion and all of that, that they should never have gotten the World Cup in the first place. And I still think it's going to get moved. There was just a report on PBS, of all places, certainly no friend of, you know, certainly not an enemy of the Middle Eastern countries, but they're talking about how that Qatar has brought in a lot of Pakistani and other workers, and they're treating them terribly. There's been hundreds of deaths, and I haven't watched the whole thing yet, but I still cannot believe that it's going to happen. I think that eventually, within the next few months, I think the European countries are going to make a stand and say, look, we don't want our leagues to be interrupted for effectively 2 months to play the World Cup in the winter, when it's never been played in the winter. It was sold as it was going to be played in the summer when they were given the bid. Now they change it to the winter, and it's going to cause havoc with the European leagues. And in some cases, Joe, some people, some soccer fans, like the league soccer more than the World Cup, because all the best stars, all are playing for other, or for the clubs, and it's all mix and match. It's not just a country thing. So England can host it in a heartbeat. They have the facilities, they have the infrastructure, they have the stadiums. England, and actually the UK, you can even add, the Millennium Stadium in Wales certainly can host. The National Stadium in Scotland could host. They've got plenty of venues, plenty of infrastructure, a lot of hotels. It's a destination country. And I just think that's the obvious place to move it, because they haven't had the World Cup since 1966. But we'll ask Michael Lewis. I don't want to ask Dick, because Dick, I think, he works for FIFA. He's a consultant for FIFA. I'm sure he's not going to say anything bad. But I can make those comments, and I think it should be moved. I think it's ridiculous that it's going to be played in the wintertime.
Well, one of the things that is going to happen, really, that if you look at the makeup of all the team, and I'm speaking in England, I speak about Spain, I speak about all the European country, because the Europe format right now, that anybody can play any place they want to, you really don't have a pure team anymore. Because in Italy, that I know about, they got some like 200 players, 250 players competing in all the major team there, and most of them are non-Italian. Okay, and the reason why is because, just like you said, they want to win. But they're going to win at what cost? But then it comes to the national team, and those countries, they got eliminated. If you look at all the other countries, they had better players. They recall all their players that they played throughout Europe. So they have an amalgamation of the best player in the world that they are playing in different country, not definitely in the nation.
I mean, even France and Croatia, the majority of the players for both those countries play outside, especially Croatia. I think there's only one or two players that play in Croatia. France has a few more, but still the majority of the biggest stars play elsewhere. I mean, England had every single one of their players play in the Premiership.
Yeah.
Russia, every one of their players plays in the Russian First Division, which is a top league. So I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how this all works out. But, of course, before all that happens, you're going to have the Women's World Cup next year in France. So France has a chance to be the men's and women's world champions at the same time. And certainly there'll be a team to reckon with on their home soil.
Achievement.
And I know that it's going to be extensive coverage of that. Of course, the U.S. almost assuredly will be in the Women's World Cup, because we have one of the best teams, if not the best team in the world. And I certainly hope that our good friend Michal Cerboni is part of that team, because she deserves to be. She's the N'Golo Kante of women's soccer.
Yeah.
You don't beat her. You don't take the ball away from her. She takes the ball away from you. It's exactly.
So there was so much skill, so much skill that we witnessed, in all those games. You know how the players are able to recover, how the players are able to steal the ball, how the players are managing the ball. Okay, some players, you know, they kick the ball. Some players make love to the ball, and you know, so that's basically the best thing about to watch and watch players really playing the game with fervor and with passion.
Certainly, I think it's also. Soccer is a team sport. You can't win with just one or two great players. You've got to have a full team, and that's why I picked France from the very beginning. I thought that they had the best talent, and I said the only team that could beat France is France themselves because they've had a tendency to self-destruct. But Didier Deschamps did a masterful job, and he may have been the MVP of the match yesterday because he made a move taking N'Golo Kanté out of the game, which was a unbelievable guts to do that, because many people said, including Alexi Lalas, that he was the best player in the World Cup. But he picked up that yellow card in the first half.
Yeah.
He was not effective, and he was replaced in the game. And when they did that, Pogba was able to move forward, yeah. And that set up the second and third and fourth goals. Because yeah. once that happened, it changed the game because Kanté was limited due to that yellow card that he received.
Yep. Yeah. Pogba played terrific. He ran. He unbelievable. He's a tall guy, massive legs that they cover. It would take me 50 steps to cover one of his steps.
I know. He played very well. It was Steven Nzonzi came in the 55th minute. Two goals came in the next 10 minutes for France.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the difference. I thought that was the difference. So, you know, Didier Deschamps out-coached
the Croatia guy. Yeah. Because they didn't make changes, you know, until late. And, you know, they had, I was surprised because they had a lot of tired legs, so I thought they would make a lot of changes.
Interesting. Like I said, I think the difference in coaching was a big part of it, and just... I think, again, France had the better talent. Croatia played with a lot of heart and a lot of guts. But I think eventually, like you said, Joe, it should have been 4-1 if not for Lloris's horrific blunder, which will be remembered, but maybe not as much because they won the match pretty easily after that.
Yeah.
Croatia just had too many matches, too many minutes played,
yeah.
And that really, especially the second half,
and
it really
overtime.
Affected them.
I mean, all their games went to overtime.
Exactly. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, we'll get Mr. Zero, Dick Howard, will get his thoughts on the 2018 World Cup. Next on Soccer is the Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Je me baladais sur l'avenue, le cœur ouvert à l'inconnu. J'avais envie de dire bonjour à n'importe qui. N'importe qui, ce fut toi, je t'ai dit n'importe quoi. Il suffisait de te parler pour t'apprivoiser. Aux Champs-Élysées, aux Champs-Élysées.
Notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top notch monogramming.com, 248-2650. Top notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
Are you looking for a new dentist for your family? Dr. David Olivo has been caring for Rochester's dental needs for over 15 years and would welcome the opportunity to serve you. To make an appointment, call 328-3382. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Cooja Cooj, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore!
Doors.com.
Are you looking to update the kitchen, bath, or flooring in your home, but don't know where to begin? Whether it's cabinetry, carpeting, hardwood flooring, tile, or kitchen and bathroom remodeling, Claridge Design Center in Chi Lai Fall Plaza is the place to start. Locally owned with over 25 years in business, Claridge Custom Designs and Builds quality remodeling projects throughout Rochester and Monroe County. At Claridge, the visions and ideas you have for your home are developed with the experienced Claridge designers to make your dream project a reality. And the quality of service you receive at Claridge is second to none. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call Claridge at 889-5800 or visit their website to meet the Claridge team. See examples of their finished work at ClarageDesignCenter.com.
Looking to save money on your weekly grocery bill? Visit Olindo's Cash and Carry at 1510 Lyle Avenue in Rochester. Olindo's provides Italian and Spanish items, imported and domestic cheeses, deli meats, and homegrown produce with a perfect blend of quality, selection, value, and personal service. Olindo's wholesale prices are the best around, and there's no membership fee. Call Olindo's at 647-1985 or visit them on the web at olindofoodservice.com.
Next Saturday, July 28th, the Rochester Rhinos organization partners with MLS champions Toronto FC to bring the USL back to Rochester. Toronto FC 2 will host Nashville SC at Marina Auto Stadium with kickoff at 6:05. Support the Rhinos by purchasing your match tickets by calling 454-KICK or visiting rhinosoccer.com. Tour Rock Brewery tours are available to purchase in conjunction with this match with a tour and a midfield 100-level seat for $75. Brewery tour tickets are available at tourrock.com.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Now, on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, it's time for our international report with one of North America's top soccer journalists, a member of the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame, and a 2013 inductee into the Rochester Lancers Hall of Fame, Mr. Zero, Dick Howard.
And our international World Cup finale report with Dick Howard, brought to you by our title sponsor, Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry, 2005 Lyle Avenue in Gates off the 390 Expressway. And there is some flooding there tonight, so I don't know if it's, hopefully it'll be down by tomorrow if you do have an appointment to see Dr. Olivo. But give the office a call if there's any question, 328-3382. If you want to find out more about the practice, visit the interactive website at davidolivodmd.com. Well, Dick, a month has gone by faster than any month in the last 4 years, and it's all over. So I'm sure that you have a lot to say about the World Cup, but what are some of your initial thoughts?
Hallelujah. Incredible scenes, weren't they, in Paris and in Zagreb to welcome the heroes. And, of course, special time for the French coach, Didier Deschamps, because he did it in 1998 as a player and now as a coach, third such person to coach a World Cup winner. And similar scenes in the Champs-Élysées, just incredible images. But the same in Zagreb. It's just, I think, shows you the passions of the game when you see the welcome home of the heroes.
It was excellent, definitely. The Croatian fans were, even they were disappointed, obviously, to lose the match, but they were very happy with a second-place finish that nobody expected. But, Dick, I want to ask you, what have you seen in the English papers and talking to your friends in England? How are the fans reacting and appreciating the English team that I think was also a big surprise, finishing in fourth place?
They certainly have, and they've been very positive, Andrew. I think it's tremendous to see the feedback in all the major papers in the UK. It's been very positive with regard to the performance of the Gareth Southgate and the players. There were obviously, as is the case in England, always the hope that the team would get to the final, but realistically people were saying, well, if they get to the quarterfinals, that'll be good. And to get to the semis and finish fourth overall, I think, is a tremendous reflection on where the game is. So it was great to see that, because it's not often the case.
They played a great team. Belgium was a much better team than England, I think.
Well, they finished third. So.
Yeah. So the whole thing is that my do you guys remember when we predicted who's going to win? I picked Brazil.
You picked Brazil.
I picked Brazil, and look what happened.
Well, I think I was the only one to pick Le Bleu, and I'm telling everybody that. I wish I'd bet on it, actually, but I never bet, because when I bet, I lose. But it was a very memorable tournament for so many reasons. What are some of the things, Andrew?
Not too many people felt that it would be good. They thought there would be problems, but I think you have to give tremendous credit to the Russian Federation for the organization. The stadia were tremendous. And apart from that incident in the final where the four protesters got onto the field, I didn't hear or read of anything that had happened with regards to off-the-field activities.
Tremendous credit.
And Vladimir Putin, of course, getting a lot of that today.
Well, the group, we can't mention the name of the group on the air because it's not allowed, but it is a Russian group that is known for protesting in Russia, different things. So one thing I noticed, though, Dick, is Vladimir Putin had a bigger umbrella than any of the other representatives that were on the
Wasn't
on the
that
podium.
Amazing? Yeah, he had the umbrella. He stayed dry, but I thought it was great that the two presidents got soaked to the skin, but they hugged all the players. I thought that was tremendous. And
what was the moment?
The dance of the French president in the press box at the end of the game. Just great images.
Some of the commentators were wondering what Gianni Infantino and Vladimir Putin were discussing. Probably something to do with euros and rubles or whatever Russia uses for their currency. But yes, the Croatian prime minister was tremendously proud of her country, obviously wearing the red and white checkerboard of Croatia, and Macron, the French president, he was jumping for joy when the final whistle went and France took home the trophy for the second time. But I think, Dick, it's going to be a lot of things to remember from this World Cup. Some of the good things, VAR was a huge success. I think that not only did it get calls right, I think, and obviously the number of penalties that were called through VAR, and I said to my wife, I said it would be appropriate if there was a VAR penalty called in the World Cup final and an own goal, and both things happened. But the VAR
own
also,
goal in the final, wasn't it? In the final game, the Nestor Pitana, the Argentinian referee, had his moments, of course. There's comments about where the free kick should have been given, and then with the handball, with the Croatian player handling the ball inside the box, Perisic. So,
but see, can you? In my opinion, when the player goes up, okay, he can't jump with his hands and got to jump with the hands that there. So the ball hit his arm.
No, he did not hit his arm. Perisic's hand was going downward, and he struck the ball with his hand into his leg, and that's why it was a penalty.
The player was just in front of him. He had no time to react and so on. And I think Howard Webb was on television here in Toronto, and he reckons that neither the free kick should have been given nor the penalty kick, in his opinion. And, of course, Howard Webb, very famous FIFA referee, and he's been used by the station, the network in Canada, to give his comments, and he felt that he was harsh on the Croatian team.
The match official, the FIFA match official who's done all the Fox games, he said it was a penalty.
There was an Italian guy.
Well, so I mean, you can agree to disagree. I think the other thing we mentioned about the own goals, but I think part and parcel of that, Dick, was the amount of set pieces that resulted in goals in this World Cup, which was by far the biggest. A lot of that was due to the
incredible
penalties, but I think 43%
from set plays. But it gives a lot of credit, you know, to teams. Now they spend a lot of time in training, and they don't have too much time to prepare, obviously, for a tournament of this nature. But that's an incredible rate, and that, along with the 22 penalty kicks, is a record in the World Cup as well.
And that's good, because that means there was only one scoreless tie in the entire tournament, the match between France and Denmark. But that's incredible when you think about recent World Cups and the tendencies for goalless draws, Joe. I mean, if Italy had been in, there probably would have been a few more.
No, the only other thing that the games. A lot of games went into overtime, you know, and that's what happened to Croatia. Croatia played a lot of overtime games, and they didn't have much time to rest. So they had tired legs, and Dick, you know, Mandzukic stealing the ball from the goalie. What did you think about that?
Don't mention that. In the goalkeepers' union, you don't mention things like that. No, it's an incredible mistake by Lloris, and he's been prone to that, unfortunately. With Tottenham, he's had his moments, but he's still an outstanding goalkeeper. Not the best in the tournament, that was Courtois, rightly so, but. No, 9 winners in 90 minutes, 90th minute or an injury time, which is incredible.
Yeah, it's interesting because the vast majority, if you look at the breakdown by 15-minute intervals, the vast majority of the goals came in the last 15 minutes, but that didn't happen in the final. There were no, I think both teams, Croatia ran out of gas, which is understandable given the fact that they played an extra match given all the extra time they had, plus the stoppage time. So
no,
that they just did not have...
You're right, Andrew, giving credit to the Croatian team because they did tremendously well, and I think we've discussed the Brazilians of Europe, and on their day, they can beat anybody, and they didn't get it against France, but they came awfully close.
I want to ask you something, Dick, because one of the things, I understand why it was done, as four of the last 5 golden ball winners were from the losing team in the final, and it's a sort of a consolation prize. It was given to Luka Modric, but I think Antoine Griezmann was shafted. I think he should have been named the golden ball winner. 6 of France's last 7 goals in the final 3 games of the tournament came through Griezmann, and he was just he did what you have to do as a forward. You put the ball in the back of the net, or you set up a player. He's 3 of the 4 goals in the final were from through Griezmann, and I thought he was he should have gotten more
probably, recognition. I don't disagree. I think Luka Modric had an outstanding tournament, not so much in the final, but. The other one that I certainly agree with was the Golden Glove going to Thibaut Courtois, because I think overall he, in a group of fine goalkeepers, he was the best. So I don't not disputing that, but I lean towards Modric, even given what you mentioned about Griezmann.
Modric brought him to the final. You know, you can look at the game, the last game, but you got to look at how he played the previous game to the final.
Griezmann was part of more goals that were scored by France than any player in the tournament. I mean, Harry Kane had 6 goals, and it's funny because he was even mentioned on many of the best 11 teams that have been called out, even though he scored more goals than anybody. But I love Courtois, obviously, because he plays for Chelsea. But I think, honestly, if you look at which goalie was most vital to his team, I think Ochoa from Mexico should have gotten some consideration because he had more saves than anybody in the tournament, and he single-handedly kept them in a couple of their matches.
He's certainly been outstanding for L3 over the years, and... I thought there were just lots of good goalkeepers. Young Pickford for England,
yes.
Obviously. He produced some magnificent saves in getting England to go as far as they did, especially in the penalty kicks. But Courtois, he must be good because he's a Chelsea player, right, Andrew?
Of course.
Getting off topic a little bit, you must be delighted with the signing of... the Portuguese player for Juventus.
Oh, I'm very, very happy. I also, I'm very, very worried. You know, how is he going to influence the team? They're going to have to, you know, build a team just for him. You know, around him. But
Dick, I've heard from reliable sources that Joe has already ordered his CR7 Juventus jersey, so he's going to be wearing it in a couple weeks. So
I'm going to go over there. I'm going in Italy in September. I'm going to go buy one.
Yeah, that's right. Joe's going to be going to see Juventus play.
Yeah, you can wear it on the show when you come back, Joe. That'll be great.
definitely.
Dick, before we let you go, there's a press conference tomorrow for the Canadian national team in Toronto. What's going on with that?
Yeah, good question. John Herdman and Peter Montopoli, the General Secretary of the Canadian Soccer Association. 2:00, downtown hotel. I'll be there, and I'll give you the full details next week.
We'll see what happens. Obviously, 2026 is not too far away, and it'll be a tremendous time for the World Cup here in North America once again, and Canada hosting their first men's official World Cup. They've hosted the U-20s and the Women's World Cup. Now they get the biggest show of all. So, Dick, we'll see what happens. We can thank you for all your insight on the World Cup, and we'll get back to more mundane things, I guess, with MLS.
We're in withdrawal, aren't we, guys? You know, seen 64 games over just over a month, and I've been in withdrawal all day. I'll gradually get back into the swing of things, but
I know.
No, it was great. Great event. One of the best ever.
Before you go, in your opinion, who was the best referee in the tournament?
Best referee?
The best referee, yeah.
I like Pitano. I think he's new to using VAR, but I like the referee in the final, you know, I like the way he conducts himself.
Well, that's why he was named the referee for the final, because he earned the respect and the admiration, and he did the best job of the referees.
You know what I liked the most about him? Because he went and looked at VAR, and then he went back and looked just
a second time. Yeah, that was
going to make a mistake.
Well, Dick, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, guys, look forward to it.
Ciao.
Bye, Dick. Dick Howard here on Soccer is the Kick in the Grass. We'll have international news throughout the rest of this year. Of course, the Premiership starts in 1 month, so we'll be getting back into that and all the European leagues. But coming up next, we're going to have the wrap-up of the Rochester Lady Lancers season. Very successful year for the women. Coach Sal Galvano is on our show next on Soccer is the Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at socceristhekickinthegrass.com.
Trying to be a good friend of mine. I was a free man in Paris. I felt unfettered and alive. There was nobody calling me up for favors, and no one's future to decide.
Your local sports leader. You're listening to AM 1040 WYSL Avon Rochester, FM 92.1 W221CL Rochester, and WYSL1040.com.
Your family is growing, and it's time for a new home. Why buy a used house with someone else's style when you can afford a new Faber home, built to suit your taste and your needs? Start fresh, build new with Faber. Faber Homes can customize your home to meet your wishes and dreams. Faber Homes is now building in 6 locations. Visit the Faber Homes website at faberhomes.com and find the plan of your dreams or a quick deliver home. Give Faber Homes a call today at 247-4800 or visit faberhomes.com for our current incentives. Faber Homes, great price.
St. Padre Pio Chapel, located at 141 Frank Domino Way in Gates, is a great place to visit for thought and reflection. The chapel is open daily from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and you can have a tour of the chapel on request. To arrange for a tour, please call Pia Pelosi at 621-6703.
Caring for your teeth is a key factor in promoting good health. Joe and Andrew highly recommend Dr. David Olivo and his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue for all your dental needs. Dr. Olivo and his experienced staff provide a wide array of dental services and procedures in a comfortable and caring atmosphere. New patients are always welcome. Visit Dr. Olivo's interactive website at davidolivodmd.com or call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo. Levo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Glacier Ridge Sports Park is proud to be a sponsor of Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Glacier Ridge Sports Park is home to a large indoor driving range and golf simulator, Glacier Ridge Snow Tubing, Rochester Lancers Youth Academy, and the Glacier Ridge Dead Zone. Check us out at GlacierRidgeSportsPark.com.
Coojacooj, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatores.com.
Next Saturday, July 28th, the Rochester Rhinos organization partners with MLS champions Toronto FC to bring the USL back to Rochester. Toronto FC 2 will host Nashville SC at Marina Auto Stadium with kickoff at 6:05. Support the Rhinos by purchasing your match tickets by calling 454-KICK or visiting rhinosoccer.com. Tour Rock Brewery tours are available to purchase in conjunction with this match with a tour and a midfield 100-level seat for $75. Brewery tour tickets are available at tourrock.com.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Welcome back to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Andrew Battisti and Joe Redcard Sirianni. And Joe, certainly for the local soccer, the Rochester Lady Lancers was the big story, turning around a winless season last year to a 5-3-2 season this year, and what a great job they did.
I tell you, Andrew, I really enjoyed watching them. I enjoyed seeing the coach, coaching them. I enjoyed being close by to watch their play. And I'm really hoping that, just like we talked about, they improve right along. It's too bad they didn't make the playoffs, but, there's a lot more coming for them in the next year.
Well, let's bring in now the head coach of the Rochester Lady Lancers, Sal Galvano. Sal's appearance brought to you by Glacier Ridge Sports Park, 4618 Westridge Road in Spencerport. Number to call, 352-5300, or go to glacierridgesportspark.com. Rochester Lancers Youth Camps will be taking place in July and August at the Glacier Ridge Sports Park. Go to the website for details. Again, glacierridgesportspark.com. Sal, thanks for being with us tonight.
Hey, thanks, Andrew and Joe. How are you guys?
We're doing good.
Yeah, soccer withdrawal after the World Cup.
Yeah. 1 month of soccer.
Right, I get it.
But it was such a great year for the ladies this year. I mean, turning around a team that had not won a game to having a winning record and being, one game away, a different result in one match of the matches you guys didn't win would have potentially put you guys in the playoffs. So, as a coach, what were your thoughts on the season, looking back on it now, over the last couple of days?
To be honest, Andrew, for us, or for me, it was, let's just have a few wins and do better than what we did last year. And then I really believe we exceeded our expectations, or my expectations of what the team did. We did, the girls just bought in everything and did well. I mean, we exceeded what the expectations were, for sure, 100%.
And, of course, the other thing that happened this past weekend was the Lady Lancers got their first ever victory over their Derby rivals, the Western New York Flash, a 2-1 win, and that made the Lancers finish above the Flash in the standings. So another great accomplishment.
Yeah, it was great because we should have beat them the first time. We outshot them 28-7 the first game at home, and we should have done a lot better, and we should have came away with a win at home. But that was great to beat the Flash this year, for sure, 100%. The best part for us is we knocked them completely out of the playoffs. If they would have won, they would have entered. I think they would have had a better chance of getting in, but just being able to knock them out was fantastic. So for us, that put an icing on the cake, and finishing the season with a win, regardless of making the playoffs or not, was even better for us.
Sal, just, I'm sure that you're going to be back next year and you're going to have a better team. What improvement are you looking to make, to improve the team from this year to next year?
Well, Joe, the best thing is that we had a solid team. There was not one team in the league that I could say was way better than us. So is there any one thing to improve? I mean, you're always looking for better players. Just like you've got to sign Cristiano Ronaldo, we're always looking for better players. if we can get better players, great. But the group that we had is the right group. And I'll stand with my players 100%. We can, and if I have the same team again next year, it'll be a much better, I feel, better result and better everything just because we know each other a little more. It's been a year of being together or a season of being together. It's just going to be that much easier next year. But the group we had was the right group. That's what's the best part about it. Everyone bought into it. We worked together to be where we needed to be. So, you know, it was good. I enjoyed everything we had. I enjoyed the team and the players we had.
I would make one recommendation. Find somebody who has sprinter speed, because when I watched Lancaster Inferno, they had that one player who was like a collegiate champion in sprinting, and she scored, I think, two goals against us and four against the Flash that one weekend. So that's, and then we saw it in the World Cup with Mbappe. When you have someone of that, with that kind of speed, that it just challenges defenses and gives the defenses, you know, headaches. So I think that would be something. I think I don't know how many are out there for women, but I think that would be something to look for.
Andrew, you're 100% right. You can't teach speed. I can teach you how to play and how to play in any system that soccer gives you and what fits in for the team, but you can't teach speed. And you're right. Having speed kills, bottom line.
Yep. One of the things that was interesting that I noticed, and it was mentioned in the game report for the Flash and the Lancers, the Flash lost all five of their games at home and won all five of their games on the road. And the Lancers also had a much better road record than they did at home, which is opposite to what normally happens in soccer. What do you think was the reason for that?
Playing in front of the home crowd, did way intimidating.
Well, I think a couple of things. You're right. We were 4-0-1 on the road. The Flash were 5-0 on the road. They didn't win a game at home, and we won one game and tied one. So, what happens is that on the road, it's a little more structured. We're together. We eat meals together. We, you know, there's a curfew. It's everything very structured. When at home, especially with this type of league, you got players coming from Syracuse, Buffalo. Rochester, that are doing their own thing, and it's not as structured. You may tell them, hey, they need to come home, you know, you need to be here at this time, and so on, but it's not as structured. Plus, for us, we don't train at the Rhino Stadium. We train at the Dome at Doug Miller, so it's a different environment, I think, and that could play a small factor in it. I think if you train and play at the same place, I think that's a big factor. But it's the big thing, I think, is just structure. I think that's really what it comes down to it.
Last thing, Sal, what do you think about the league itself, the UWS? They're going to have their playoffs this weekend. Lancaster and Connecticut are going to play for the Eastern Conference Championship tomorrow. But do you think the league will be back next year? Hopefully it will be, and that the Lancers will also be part of the league next year.
Oh, 100%. This league is very stable. From knowing the commissioner real well and being at the meetings, and who has invested teams in this league, with the Connecticut owners it's the broadcaster that does the U.S. Men's National Team. Mia Hamm is one of the owners of the LA Galaxy Orange County team. You've got big investors that are part of this league. So 100% do I think the league is stable, 100% do I think the league will be back next year, and 100% that the Lady Lancers and Lancers organization will be back next year for this, either the MPSL or the UWS league. Overall, this league this year, fantastic. The caliber of every team was very good. There's not one team that was, you could say, it was 100% outstanding than another. I think everybody was very competitive. It was a great league professionally as well as organizationally. It was good. I enjoyed it 100% more so than last year. This is a league you're talking, this is in its third year of existence, and it's already grown. They've got a provisional conference in Florida that's going to be in effect next year. It's got teams in Texas, California, Canada. It's one league that we're considered the second division to the NWSL. And that's tribute to our commissioner, Joe, that owns the New England Mutiny team. He's done a great job putting this together and bringing the teams to follow a very good professional rules and all that. It's been great. I love this league. It's been, the competition's great. It's been good.
Well, we'll look forward to next year for the Lady Lancers and hopefully a playoff berth and beyond. And thank you again, Sal, for being so helpful with being on the show with us and helping us get the players as well. And good luck to you for the upcoming fall season. And we will be talking soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew and Joel. I greatly appreciate it. And being on the show, I love it. So anytime.
Good luck. Good luck, Sal.
Thanks, Sal.
Thank you.
It's Sal Galvano, the head coach of the Rochester Lady Lancers, here on Soccer is the Kick in the Grass. Next up, it's Michael Lewis, and we'll talk again more about the World Cup that just completed yesterday in Russia, here on Soccer is the Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM, and live on the web at socceristhekickinthegrass.com.
Notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pele, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notch monogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
An experienced professional with more than 15 years in dentistry, Dr. David Olivo welcomes new patients to his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue. At the office of Dr. Olivo, you'll discover a warm and comforting environment staffed by professionals who are committed to providing the best available dental care while assuring your complete comfort. Call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Mayhem is everywhere.
I'm your unstable ceiling fan. If you push my button one more time, I'm gonna lose my blades. And if you got sold the wrong home insurance, the cost of fixing these windows could leave your head spinning. So get Allstate.
Call East Rochester Allstate agent Vincenzo Scolo at 585-381-3530 today.
Looking to save money on your weekly grocery bill? Visit Olindo's Cash and Carry at 1510 Lyle Avenue in Rochester. Olindo's provides Italian and Spanish items, imported and domestic cheeses, deli meats, and homegrown produce with a perfect blend of quality, selection, value, and personal service. Olindo's wholesale prices are the best around, and there's no membership fee. Call Olindo's at 647-1985 or visit them on the web at olindofoodservice.com.
Next Saturday, July 28th, the Rochester Rhinos organization partners with MLS champions Toronto FC to bring the USL back to Rochester. Toronto FC 2 will host Nashville SC at Marina Auto Stadium with kickoff at 6:05. Support the Rhinos by purchasing your match tickets by calling 454-KICK or visiting rhinosoccer.com. Tour Rock Brewery tours are available to purchase in conjunction with this match with a tour and a midfield 100-level seat for $75. Brewery tour tickets are available at tourrock.com.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Soccer is a kick in the grass. It's the U.S. Soccer Report with the editor of FrontRowSoccer.com, former Rochester Lancers reporter and a 2012 inductee into the Lancers Wall of Fame, Michael Lewis.
I want to be a part of it. New York, New York.
singing away here. That's on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Michael Lewis's segment tonight, World Cup 2018, brought to you by Tom Notch Monogramming, Northfield Common in Pittsburgh, 248-2650, or visit TopNotchMonogramming.com. If you're a soccer fan, definitely go, or Lancers fan especially, a U.S. soccer fan, check out Top Notch Monogramming. They have all sorts of great gear, especially, again, if you're a Lancers fan, that's where you go for all the, not only the current Lancers, but the old NASL Lancers, even the ASL Lancers. They have some things from the original 1967 incarnation of the Lancers, plus, of course, embroidery, monogramming, screen printing, heat transfers, all those. Tony will take great care of you at Top Notch Monogramming, located again in Northfield Common in Pittsburgh. Well, Michael, are you having withdrawal yet from soccer, or with all the things you're doing, I'm sure you're probably looking at your next assignment.
Wait a minute. I just want to know why there aren't any World Cup games on TV today. I mean, you talk about addiction. Now, seriously, I have mixed emotions about the World Cup being over. It was a great World Cup, and you know, you really couldn't go wrong with very many of the games that were up there. Even the lesser ones turned out to be, had to have their moments, and some of them turned out to be some really good soccer. From my standpoint, I can get back to work knowing that I don't have to watch two or three games a day keeping up on things. Believe it or not, some of us have to, even though we cover soccer and we love the World Cup, but if we weren't in Russia, we still have to cover soccer here and write about soccer here. So definitely mixed emotions. I'll tell you this, every time I covered the World Cup, when I went overseas, I was very happy that it was over and that I got home to see my wife and family. So I think a lot of people are probably going through what a lot of us are enduring, mixed emotions and a little withdrawal there.
What's interesting, looking at some things from Stephen Goff on the World Cup, and this is amazing. Some of the things we forget about because it's been so long since these matches happened, but the Iceland-Argentina match, they said that the ratings in Iceland was 99.6, which basically means every television set in Iceland was turned to the game. Unbelievable.
It's mind-boggling. I mean, if you get something like half a country, and I don't care how big the country is, that's superb ratings. But, you know, people in Iceland got it. It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience for a lot of teams, or you have to assume it is. You can't think that you're going to be back the next time. Just take a look at the U.S. experience. And I'm glad that they got it and they enjoyed the ride.
One of the things that I take away from this World Cup is that they played tremendous soccer, entertaining soccer. There was, you know, there was the minnows that got rid of the you know, the big guns, you know, the Ronaldo, the CR7, and Messi. It proves that soccer has really come, has become better in all over the world. And for the naysayer about soccer that you know, it's a sissy sport, you know,
boring
and all that kind of thing, I'll tell you, I sat on my couch and I was kicking every ball they were kicking, you know, and hoping that my favorite team will score. But the whole thing, Mike, is that the guys like you that write about soccer and see all the things that perhaps the people that have no idea what the game is all about, and you should give a schooling. You should start a schooling on the game and the rule of the game. And
he wrote a book on that.
Yeah. And by the way, when is the book going to be ready?
I'm sorry.
The Lancers book.
The Lancers book. That's a good question. You know, it's finding time to write it in between making a living. I'll tell you this, writing the Lancers book, I know that this is off topic from World Cup, but it's one of the most enjoyable experiences that I have. But the thing when you're writing a book, and I've written a few of them, you've really got to focus. It's not like I could go there and do 15 minutes and then all of a sudden drop away and then come back a little later and do another 15 minutes. You literally need at least an hour or two to
to get into the swing of things, because there's a lot of research material that I have that I'm trying to put together and make it, for lack of better words, I want to make it sing. But, I'd love to say that I'm finished with it. I'm slowly but surely getting there. Unfortunately, slowly, more slower than I had anticipated. Damn job gets in the way. If I won the lottery, I think the book would pick up steam for obvious reasons.
By the way, if you go to frontrowsoccer.com, Michael has a great article about the 1977 New York City blackout and how the Cosmos were affected and they came to play here in Rochester against the Lancers. By the way, it was one of the times the Lancers actually beat the Cosmos at Hollander Stadium. So check that out at frontrowsoccer.com. And another thing that Stephen Goff mentioned, Michael, which is I think makes sense to me now, I was always wondering throughout the World Cup why it seemed like there were very few Europeans there. The European countries did not have the support that the countries from South America and Mexico, Panama, Costa Rica did. And I think they said that, according to what Stephen wrote, that 100,000 tickets were actually sold to U.S. fans. And I think many of those U.S. fans were probably fans of those countries, and that's how they were able to have more people. It seems like when you hear the anthems, the Brazilian anthem and the Mexican anthem, the Panamanian anthem, they were all very loud as compared to the European anthems.
Yeah, we lead the world in topics like that, subjects like that. Tickets sold, helping to sell tickets to other countries, be a conduit for other countries. Seemingly, we're always among the leaders in that. Unfortunately, that's off the field. I mean, that's good in a way, but I'd like to see the U.S. do better on the field.
Yeah, well, I think this will be the last World Cup the U.S. does not qualify for, because I think next year or the next 4 years, and allegedly in Qatar, I still think it's going to be moved. The U.S. will get into that, and then we go to 48 teams, and I think at that point the U.S. will never miss the World Cup, because you're going to get six or seven teams from CONCACAF. And I think we can pretty safely say the U.S. can beat the Guatemalas and the Jamaicas and the countries along those lines and get to that point. So,
wait, to that point, Andrew, I wonder when they're going to appoint a new coach, or because that's going to be vital to develop a team that's going to be able to compete for 2022.
It's not going to be for a little while. I believe it's a few months. And the matches that the U.S. have coming up, Michael, Dave Sarakin, our own Dave Sarakin from Rochester, Brighton, will be here, will be coaching against Brazil and against Mexico, and then probably the matches are overseas as well.
Well, and I'm definitely happy for Dave Sarakin that he's still able to coach the team, pocket some decent paychecks too, and I don't think he's doing it just for the money. But a soccer world out there, if Dave does not get the U.S. national team job, there's someone who could run a team for you, whether it's on the field or as a director of coaching, technical director, sporting director, head coach. He's got experience, and he's also one of the nicest guys you're ever going to meet, and he's definitely a nice guy who does not finish last.
Antonio Conte is available now because he's been fired.
Yes, I know. I didn't want to mention that, Joe. I mean, come on. We're not talking about Chelsea today, except the fact we've got Courtois and Conte and Giroud and Eden Hazard, who all did very well in the World Cup. But Michael, I know we have just a couple of minutes. What is the one thing that you're going to remember from the World Cup the most? I think, I mean, we're going to be talking about this more on Saturday when we have 2 hours to host Sam's show, but I think one of the things we forget, and for me, Germany getting eliminated in the group stage. It seems so long ago, but that was a complete shock that I think was felt around the world.
Brazil,
yeah, it's funny, I made a couple of quick lists about this, and I have one, I guess, Mexico beating World Cup champion or defending champion Germany in its first game, and Mexico not being able to get past that round of 16, and then Germany getting eliminated, as a memorable low point as well, too. I guess the best game, and I know we'll talk about this more, to me, has got to be Belgium's fantastic comeback against Japan. one of the most classic games in World Cup history. I live for games like this. I live for games to cover like this. But I know we'll talk about more of those type of things on Saturday morning.
What about Croatia?
Definitely. I mean, there's an endless list here. I know we're starting to run out of time a bit.
Yeah, we're running out of time.
Amazing here, run, playing three consecutive extra time games, and being unlucky in the final. But, you know, I still think the best team won, but they were unlucky, you know, with the own goal and the PK there, but they never gave up. And that's something for everyone to remember. No matter how much talent you have, you keep plugging away. You don't know when you're going to score. The other team is maybe going to make a mistake and give you something on a silver platter.
Well, Michael, thank you so much. We'll talk to you on Saturday morning at kickthis.com. Michael Lewis here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Again, thanks to Sal Galvano, the host of the coach of the Rochester Lady Lancers. Don't forget the Rhinos will be hosting Toronto FC 2 versus Nashville SC July 28th, next Saturday, 6:05 at Marina Auto Stadium. RhinoSoccer.com for tickets. This has been Andrew Battisti, Joe Sirianni, Dick Howard, Michael Lewis, and Bob D'Angelo in the control room at WYSL. Be with us next Monday at 6:30 for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass here on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at SoccerIsAKickInTheGrass.com. Good night, everyone.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry and brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos, top-notch monogramming Northfield Commons, Pittsburgh, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Faber Homes, Claridge Decorating Center, Glacier Ridge Sports Park, Olindo's, and Allstate Insurance agent Enzo Scolo. Tune in again next week for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. We'll be right back.